this part, but just as a continual recap, first week we spent time talking about our uniqueness and how God created each one of us unique, and that each one of us have a specific role to play that only each one of us can play. And somehow that message has been lost, in my opinion, in the institutional church. And as a result, a lot of times, in fact, I know of a local church that says, don't worry about you ministering to them. Just get them to church on Sunday and I'll show you how to do it. And this is a very popular church, too, as well. So it's interesting that he would actually say that directly. I know he didn't intend it to be maybe potentially that way, but that's how it comes across, and that's how a lot of us who've been raised in the traditional church maybe have felt. And so we lose a lot of that feeling of being unique and what we have to offer. And a lot of times we're left feeling like we don't have a lot to offer. And so that's session number one. Number two, we spent talking about our family and how many, many times, again, for the same reasons, it's not really celebrated, the opportunity we have to minister to those right in our own home. And that's also probably the biggest hit in ministry, in my opinion, that I've seen recently. We have a lot of folks that are outwardly interested but not really knowing what to do on the inside of in their own home and how to minister to their own husband, wife, children, extended family, cousins, nieces, nephews. And there's so much of a role to play. I mean, Denise, you know, perfect example of this right now with her niece. I mean, and nobody in the church is even talking about this kind of stuff. I mean, it's really interesting. So we have a big role to play there. And I think if we keep our eyes open a little bit internally, we'll have plenty of opportunities. Katie even talked about between her and Jay, you know, how things can come up, and if we keep our eyes open, we'll have the opportunity to really minister to those in our own household. And then the third session, we talked about where we, most of us, are most of the time. And for some, we talked about, for those that are in the working world, you know, 9-to-5 type job or whatever, or in Chris's example, wherever he is, what is it, 6 to 8? Is that what it is? 6 to 8 a.m. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But if you look at and we talked about the Bureau of Labor Statistics, it says if you have a job in that example from 9-to-5 or 12, whatever the hours are, you actually spend more time there than you do anywhere else. So you actually spend more time in your job than you do even when you sleep. I mean, it's really interesting when you think about that. So lots of opportunities to see what's happening. And oftentimes, by the way, you have a major influence just because of the time you spend in those locations. And it doesn't mean you have to be working. It could be where you go to the gym every day. It could be if you're a stay-at-home mom, obviously you have your own children, but other moms in the same situation. Homeschooling, you know, we have a few folks here that homeschool, and the opportunities that happen within the homeschooling community. Just all kinds of, we could just go on and on and on and on. So with that, that was the last session we did, which was last week. Any specific stories to share by chance? I know we heard Chris tell one that was really good for this week, actually, what we're going to talk about today. But does anybody have any from where they work? Anybody?
I wasn't actually in here last week. I was with the kids, but I listened. Didn't listen till yesterday. But I figured that even if I didn't listen till yesterday, my week had in it what he talked about. I have an opportunity at work that I've never really had before. I'm working a lot now because one of our ladies is out dealing with a tumor in her brain. And so I'm filling in, so I'm working a whole lot more than I did. And the other lady that's there, we're all Christians, but it's a unique situation because we're not all at the same level like we have been in the past. The doctor and his wife are very strong believers. Myself and the other lady that I started out with have been very strong believers. And the one who is actually dealing with a tumor is a strong believer. But the other lady is more of a young believer. And I'm having to deal with some things in the workplace that I haven't before. And it's opened up opportunities for me to be able to recognize things that God's working on me with, but also for her, to help her along in her Christian walk. And we were talking the other day, and she is very much a different personality than me. And sometimes that's hard for me to deal with because I'm pretty straightforward. And she's very sensitive, so I have to be careful. And she was talking about how she does little things for people. She gives, like for the mailman, which he's another one we're ministering to in our office, it doesn't get to eat, so she's been giving him little things, gets things from the dollar store and stuff. And she was talking about just the little things that she does, and I was able to encourage her that that's her ministry. And just little things that I can be doing, you know, encouraging her in that, and also in just, you know, things that we have to do on a daily basis, because she's very good with the patients. She's very caring. Not that, you know, the rest of us aren't, but there's just a difference, you know, in personalities. You guys know how that goes sometimes. But she just sees things that some of the rest of us don't. And just being able to encourage her, because I'm going to be with her 2 days a week, 9 to 5. You know, and she herself is dealing with a shoulder issue. So, you know, it's just opened up opportunities that I've never had before. And, yes, it is with another believer, but it's with one that is in a denominational setting that doesn't have what we have. And we don't realize sometimes, like Denise was saying, people in regular churches don't think about stepping out to help. And that's something that we can do. And it was encouraging, Ben, because I remember driving to work this week and thinking, okay, God, I have got to broach some subjects with this coworker that has to do specifically with work duties. And I need to be kinder in the way I do it, because I can just nail you. Ask my husband. and I had to say, okay, God, you've got to take over here, because I don't want to bury her, and I can do that very easily. So I have to watch myself, but I want to encourage her to continue in the Lord and to do the things that the Lord would want her to do. So that's kind of where I'm standing.
Stay for a second. So when you encourage, this is the same person that's doing the stuff for the mailman?
Yes.
Okay. So how does she respond when you've encouraged her? That's her ministry.
She says, yeah, I guess so. So there's a confidence issue there as well. And there's been a lot going on in her family. Her sister just lost her husband suddenly. One day he was there, and the next day he wasn't. He died. And she's had another sister come to the Lord recently. So she's got a lot, and she takes care of the family. So she often doesn't take care of herself sometimes. So, you know, there's a lot of things I can be doing, encouraging her to do. So.
Thank you. I'll tell you what, that story, you know, I like that story. I'd rather hear 100 of those than my coworker. He fell on the ground and he was shaking and he repented and accepted the Lord right there. That happens, but I'd rather hear the little stories like that, because that lady doesn't know what she's doing for that mailman. I mean, if we understood the little things, everything would change. We just don't, a lot of times we're not mindful of that. So I just really want to encourage that, Carol. We'll be praying. What's her first name? Stephanie. Okay. Lord, I just thank you for Stephanie. I thank you, Lord, that she's hearing from you, hearing your voice. And thank you, Lord, for encouraging Carol right now and working with Stephanie and being a shining light, Lord, to her, to encourage her that the things that she's doing is motivated by your kind of love. And I just thank you, Lord, for that in your name. Amen. So today we're going to be talking about, you know, again, started with ourselves and understanding what our unique ministry is, unique giftings. We went to the family, went to where we work and the routines we have and the places that we have continual contact with people. Now the last part of this is going to focus on really strangers, folks that you generally don't know, and places that you don't always go, but things can happen. We all have heard stories, and we've all probably been a part of stories where this has been the case. I think the thing about this particular one is it can be, just like all the others, by the way, which I don't want to miss that point, but these can be kind of exhilarating to some degree because, you know, you didn't see it coming. You know, you're always on call, but you didn't see this one happening, and it begins to unfold before your eyes, and you think, oh, wow, I'm in the middle of something here. And it's kind of neat, and it can be uncomfortable. Because the Lord a lot of times will ask you to step in when you're watching something happen. And this can happen in different places. You know, typical places you go for grocery store, a restaurant, waiter or waitress. We've heard Daryl tell stories. If you've ever had lunch with Daryl, you've seen him do it before. Talk to the waiter or waitress saying, you know, we're going to be praying. Is there anything we can be praying for you about? Waiting rooms are notoriously places where if you have to wait for a long time, you'll have an example, opportunities. I was in Advanced Auto. Our battery light keeps flashing on and off. And so I thought, you know, I'm going to take the kid. Of course, that was not. I took all the kids and the dog, which I shouldn't have done. That's the dog part. We all went to Advanced Auto, and I was waiting. There was one guy came out, and he was helping this other, there was two young boys, probably like 16, 17, and they were trying to help their mom put on windshield wipers. And it looked like, you know, I don't know, I've tried to do that too, and it's not easy, it's not as easy as it looks a lot of times. These guys are like, looks like they were trying to dismantle the whole entire assembly, trying to get this one windshield wiper on. So this guy was helping them, and, I didn't want to wait because, you know, I had all the kids and the dog. If that dog jumped out, which it's dying to do, it would be dead on the road in no time. So I'm like, you know, I don't know why I even thought about doing this. So I went inside. I asked this guy, I said, can you come check, just do a quick check on my battery and alternator? He goes, no, that guy out there, he'll see you. I said, okay, well. So I go out there and I'm waiting, and I listen to this guy talk to these young boys who were trying to help their mom, and I heard him say, don't ever say you can't do it. And he was really encouraging these two young boys, I mean, really strongly in a good way, just saying, look, don't ever say you can't do it. You can. You're capable of doing it. It just takes some time to learn, you know, that kind of thing. And it was really cool. And so, and they responded well to that. Their eyes kind of lit up, and, you know, I guess you could assume that maybe they were fatherless. You know, I don't know if that's the case or not, but it did seem that way. So this guy comes over to my car, and I tell him the problem. He hooks it up, and I said, I just want you to know that what you said to those boys, that was really great. I said, you know, many young boys these days don't even have a dad. He goes, I didn't have a dad. And he said, if there's any way I can give back to what I've learned, you know, I'll do it in a heartbeat. I said, well, I just want to tell you that what you said to them today might be the only encouragement they've ever heard from an adult male. So don't discount it. He goes, I don't. And he was just, we just clicked. And we started talking more, and he impressed me because he played a lot of sports, and he is a mixed martial arts guy, ultimate fighter, you know, those kind of guys. And he said he weighed 280 pounds. He looked like he weighed about 100, so this guy was just nothing but solid muscle. He was a real, but we had a connection. I never saw that coming. And if I hadn't overheard what he said to them, and of course, you know, we're going through men's fraternity right now, and all this stuff's ringing true. It was just, I mean, the opportunity was really, really cool. So, that's just a perfect example. I want to go back and see this guy. And I'm going to invite him to men's fraternity because I didn't gather from his testimony that he's you know, fully dealt with the fact that his dad was never part of the equation. But his heart is good. I mean, it was really, really neat. So those are just perfect examples. And I know I could, if I open up the floor, we could have probably 10 or 15 different stories where that's happened to you. Another example of unintentional where this has happened and you didn't really see it coming is actually a true story from the movie The Blind Side. Who've seen The Blind Side? Okay, everybody. Well, that's great. So you'll recognize this scene in The Blind Side. Somebody catch the lights for me. We're only going to do a couple minutes of this, but this is, I want you to notice Sandra Bullock. I want you to watch her reaction as they drive down the road. Actually, I'm going to just back it up a second. This boy, y'all, if everybody's seen the movie, this boy's...
Where is he going?
Hey, Big Mike. Where are you headed?
Jim.
Go ahead.
Turn around. Big Mike! Stop the car. Big Mike. Hey, my name's Leanne Tui. My kids go to Wingate. You said you were going to the gym? School gym's closed. Why were you going to the gym? Big Mike, why were you going to the gym?
Because it's warm.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me.
Seen that look many times. She's about to get her way.
Come on. Come on. That's Jay Makerin. Get inside. Come on.
Where are we going?
Home.
You see that? You can kiss those lights again, if you don't mind. Thank you, man. Y'all remember that scene in that movie? And I thought the neat thing about it is watching Sandra Bullock, and you know, I don't show that movie clip as something that to endorse picking up people on the street. So I'm not saying that, but. And they had an inkling of an idea of who that person was, so that's part of the story too. But they were on the way home. It's raining, cold. They're ready to get home, and they pass him by. In fact, even tell him to keep on walking past. And then but her reaction I thought was the best, and that was something just didn't set right with that. And this is where I think the opportunity happens. And you know, of course, that's a true story, and we know what happened. That boy's life was probably saved completely because of that obedience. The check that she got in her spirit that she needed to do something. Something wasn't right about just watching him walk away. And we're going to have opportunities, and it doesn't have to be that dramatic, but it can be something when you're interacting with complete strangers. And again, it goes back to the very first session. If you understand that you have something to offer anybody, if you know that from the beginning, you'll have an opportunity to make a difference. There's no question about that. So be on the lookout for those unintentional opportunities that can come across our paths very easily. There's another opportunity, and this is the one that we're probably most familiar with, and one that gets celebrated more in traditional church circles, and that's more of an intentional opportunity to reach out to strangers. This is where you actively engage in ministry. You know what you're going to be getting into before you do it. For example, and of course things happen when you're in that setting, but you know, typically like a mission trip or something, you know, when you're going to go build houses for people that don't have houses, or, you know, help restore terrible living conditions. Habitat for Humanity would be a good example of that. There's obviously outreach-based organizations like the Urban Ministry and stuff like that. I mean, how many people here have ever served breakfast down there by chance or been a part of that? There's several here that have done that. I've done that. And you do have an opportunity when you're serving the food to see some of these men and women as you're beginning to feed them breakfast. You do get somewhat of an opportunity, but it's very fast and not a great a great opportunity to develop a relationship. Big Brothers, Big Sisters is another one. And then some that I think that we're learning from now, which has been a really big success as far as I'm concerned, would be Men's Fraternity that we started. That's a men's group that we started back in October, Jeff, and most of the men in this room are in that group. And, you know, we intentionally created this group to present the material to men, and men in the fellowship joined that in with that group, and as a result were put into small groups of people they didn't know. And it's been really neat to watch, because a lot of these men, like Carol has alluded to, they haven't been taught what we have. And so we have an opportunity to really minister to these guys in a really neat way. It's been great. And those opportunities where relationships can happen with strangers, I think, are my personal favorite, and I think tend to have more effectiveness. Another one that I've talked about before is the Salvation Army. They have a program called Night Watch that they go out, and they don't just, they have a mobile unit. I think I've mentioned this before. They're stocked with hot soup, coffee, hot chocolate, food, hygiene kits, and stuff like that. And they don't just set it up and hope people to come to do it. They actually go on the lookout for these folks. And someone that introduced me to that was Jeff Phillips. And I'm actually going to have him share an example of what happens on some of those trips and what happened in particular with one particular lady that's been going on.
So if you want to go ahead and sit down. Thank you. I didn't know until I came in that I was going to be sharing this story, even though I saw Brad multiple times on Friday, so I'm not sure. But I'm happy. You know, any time it happens that I get this opportunity, I'm thrilled. And I will try to make it very short, although there are so many details as I reflect back on this particular story that are really just mind-boggling, truly. Yeah, so to give you a backdrop, I mean, Night Watch is the Salvation Army ministry for years. I don't know, I think 2005 or so, I got involved in this. I saw it in the newspaper, an article, so I met the guy who directed it and jumped in. Didn't really know what I was getting into, but God just compelled me. During that same time, Matthew 25 had just been a study of mine. If you've ever gone there, if you haven't lately, I encourage you to do that again, just to go back through and see what Jesus so clearly says his people look like and what we do. And so I saw that, and long story short, I got connected, and I fell in love with the people that I never had seen before. And they're there. And I just, in the everyday life and what we do, we just pass right by all that so quickly, and it just is, you know, it's part of the landscape. But they're real, and now I see them. You know, God's revealed them to me. So fast forward to about 2.5 years ago, you know, and like Brad said, it most of the time is sort of routine, although we reflect each time on the craziness that just happened that night. But still, there's this sort of element of routine where we're just serving food, we're praying for people, we're giving them Bibles, we're loving on them, that kind of thing. And this night, though, and I had met this lady before. It was in the summer. It was hot. It was, mosquitoes everywhere. And she lived in the woods. And it was a place we went to normally. Her name's Young Sug. She's a little Asian woman about that tall. And she speaks, but she's been here like 40 years, okay? But she'd lost everything, and I'd known this from a previous meeting with her a little bit, but not much. But this night was unusual. So we go down through, and Fleming, you know, is a bridge that overlooks the railroad tracks, and you would never go there. If you ever want to go there, let me know. I'll take you. But you would not go there because it's just out of the way. That's why they live there. They're in the woods. They're under the bridge, you know. And so that's where she lived. And I'd known about her, but the deal was that she really didn't trust anybody to allow them to help her. And she was not addicted to drugs or alcohol. You could argue she had some mental illness, you know. I would call that some spiritual issues in her case. But nevertheless, that night we pulled down in there, and I'm not going to tell you all of this because it's just... But how I view it, in short, is like... Looking back, this was the theater of war. And I didn't know that, you know, I didn't know in those terms what we were stepping into, but hindsight, that's exactly what it was. Because the enemy had not only her, but so many others right where he wanted them. And so, a couple of quick things that are kind of funny. And sorry, I'm going to go quick as soon as I get through them. So, we pull down in there, we got this big truck. And it's lit up like a popsicle, so it's not like it, but, you know, okay, so we park it, and we go down to these people, and a friend of mine, David Ashby, and he's like three wide of me, okay, some of you know him, he's like a rock, he's with me that night, he drifts over into these woods as we're walking to meet with Young, who lives in a tent in the woods, he kind of slides over to her. I go over to this other lady that's about 50 feet away, and for the first time ever, I approach her. We always say Salvation Army. We yell that loudly so they know who's coming. And, you know, got some hot meal. We've got some stuff. Anybody home? And all of a sudden, she just blessed me. I mean, I've never heard anybody. When you try to help people, usually they're sort of receptive. No, this woman started just cursing me out like I knew. I'm like, whoa, you know. So that happens for 2 or 3 minutes. It took me kind of off the rails a little bit because I wasn't expecting that, and I was just backing away and ended up over with David and Young. Well, Young's weeping. She's just so distraught over various things. And so we begin to talk a little and then pray. And as we're praying, we kind of hear and see some commotion in the distance. Where we came with the street from which we came, there are lights. And so it gets our attention. We look. We don't really know what that is. We go back to praying. In a little bit, there's four cars, headlights, coming down, following each other. That never happens. Nobody follows us down in there. I look up, and a little bit recognize it's cop cars. So here's four cop cars. We get done praying. We're kind of concerned now. Don't know what's going on. And we go out of the woods and around. It's the first time I've ever been patted down in my whole life. Okay? And I can't explain to you. So here's that happens. Cops are like, what are you doing here? Well, see that big truck? You know, it's the Salvation Army. We've been doing this for years. Well, I've never known. I've been doing this for 25 years, this one guy says. I've never seen anybody down here doing this. I mean, what's going on? What to explain? You know, so that took time. There was a drunk lady that walked up about that time. A cop had to get out of his car. She wouldn't get out of his window. That created a whole other disturbance. I mean, if you see what I'm saying? So now fast forward a few months. That night kind of ended. Young was weeping when we left. Felt so bad that all this had happened around her. And I said, it's okay. You know, so I had to reassure her, comfort her. We take off. I saw Young a few times after that. But the end of the year came, and this strange thing happened for Lori and me, is God impressed upon us that we were to help somebody. And so what did that mean? To the tune of thousands of dollars, God compelled us to set money aside before the end of the year so we could get a tax deduction. Okay, there was some thought going on, to be honest, about the time. But I'm like, Lord, okay, we're going to do that, but who's it going to go to? The answer never came before the end of the year, so I had to write a check and park it, you know, in our other ministry. And so I was a little frustrated by that. But then I got a call in mid-January from a friend of mine, and she said, Jeff, Young is down here at the thrift store, the Salvation Army thrift store on Lee Street. She's laying on a bench, and she's sick, and I don't know, it's bad, and I don't know what to do. And I said, well, I don't either, but you need to get her to the doctor, it sounds like. So she takes her to the emergency room. They wouldn't keep her. She said, if they don't keep her, what should I do? I said, call me back. And she said, and so she did. They released her with some medication, and subsequently we put her in a hotel room. And until she could get assistance otherwise, do you know how much money it cost? Exactly the amount that God had compelled us to set aside. I mean, seriously, to the $100. And that was about 3.5 months in a hotel room here, a motel room here in town, before we could get the pieces put together around her so that she now, for almost 2 years, has her own place. She has a part-time job. She's getting some assistance. And the crazy thing about that is I never saw it coming. But as Brad said, it was an intentional thing that God compelled me to do in terms of ministry, but never expecting what he was capable of in the process. Never knowing how he was going to use me, how he was going to use us, that team that night. And this is what I know looking back. The enemy, we by his power, by the power of the Lord and the Holy Spirit, moved in on that place, this theater of war, that he compelled us to step into. And we rescued her in the name of Jesus that night. We plucked that woman out. And, you know, there's nothing like that. You know, you talk about, we didn't do anything except be there and available and willing. And it was mind-boggling. So someday it's better to hear her tell the story, because when you compare it to mine in her broken English, it's pretty powerful. And her insight and perspective, you know, as all that went down, is pretty crazy. So anyway, thanks.
That story never gets old to me. I've actually met her many times, and the first time I ever met her, I said something to her about it. She said, Jeff, he saved me. He saved me. You know, it's just awesome to hear that. And he said it right. You know, sometimes we just don't see it coming sometimes. But if we're aware and we see and we understand who we are in him, and we understand what our uniqueness is all about, and that God wants to use that wherever we are, whether it be unintentional or intentional, some big things can happen from it. So I kind of want to tie all this together a little bit, and again, just as we've talked in the past about keeping in the back of your mind, as I mentioned, some of these opportunities, always keep those in the back of your mind and be thinking about where you fit in that. And when you're out doing stuff, be thinking about that, because you just never know what could happen. But tying this all together, and then we're going to do some activations. It's very evident and something that the enemy does not want us to know, and that is that we all have a role to play. We all have a role to play in this bigger picture, and we have to be aware and sensitive to the Holy Spirit as we advance forward. And again, going back to session number one, we're unique. The Lord has work for us to do. Specifically to you, Carol, I mean, it's something that she was telling her story about different personalities and being able to minister to someone who has a different personality. That's exactly why you're there, you know, because Carol could minister to her in a way that I couldn't. And that's important to know. And it's also important to know that the enemy oftentimes will try to thwart that and let you, like kind of she says about the ministering to the post office. Oh, I don't know about that, you know. But have an opportunity. I mean, the enemy wants us to discount that, but it's not something we should be discounting, and we need to understand that.
And as a result, going back to session number one, it's very critically important that we be on the lookout and be proactive and be thinking about what's happening in our own life that might be a stumbling block. Okay? Forgiveness, we talked about that in session one. The inner healing aspect of the integrated prayer that some of us have been through has been major in my life, speaking for myself. I don't know anybody else that has as well. We just have to be careful and be mindful of those obstacles that the enemy tries to throw in our path to keep us from being bitter, having grudges, and operating out of the areas where the enemy tries to trip us up. When we do that, working through those areas, we get really a lot stronger and we operate a lot more effectively as a result. And then, again, just being on the lookout, and there's a reason why I've already gone through the summary of the classes. I'm going to do it actually again right now, and then there's a reason for that, and I'll get to that in a second. We've been entrusted with the lives of our family. While much of the time ministering to those outside our family is celebrated and more publicly noticed, our top ministry opportunities exist in our own home or to our extended family. The third session, we talked again, spending more time talking about the routines of life, and we've heard testimonies about this over and over and over. Be aware of opportunities and helping someone you have regular contact with. And I would say this about that as well. When you're in the moment, as Carol was, and she, you know, heard the session, think about it. Start your day thinking that way. When you do that, you'll recognize the opportunities for sure. And then step into them. And then the last one today we talked about, we're on assignment, and you never know who you're going to cross paths with during the day and that you'll need to reach out to. Sometimes it means that you pray for somebody and don't say a word. We don't want to discount that. Sometimes you run across somebody and you think, you know, and you see something there or you feel something there, but it doesn't mean you have to say something about it. It means you just pray into it. Then the Lord may say, okay, go say. Or just pray. And lastly, I want to recap some of the verses that we talked about in these four sessions, and then we're going to get into activations. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9, this is so important to remember. And this is from Paul speaking about ministering. And he, you know, at that time, the Corinthians were arguing about whose side they're on, that kind of thing. And Paul saying, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Ministering servants, not heads of parties through whom you believed, even as the Lord appointed to each his task. I planted, Apollos watered, but God all the while was making it grow, and he gave the increase. So neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but only God who makes it grow and become greater. He who plants and he who waters are equal. They're one in aim, of the same importance and esteem. And this is important part of the verse. Yet each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. So that's so critical. And there's been so many times where I've had an impact with someone that, like, I've shared that story about the guy in Panera that I talked to. We had a very brief conversation. I was not led to do any more further with him. If I see him again, I'll probably say something to him. But if I don't ever see him again, I have peace knowing that I may have planted this first seed. I may have been the one to help continue to water it, but God is his responsibility for the increase. I don't have to carry that burden. We look at Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then two more. Luke 10:2. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And that would be us. Important to know that. And probably the one that the verse that 2 Corinthians 1:3, the one that has probably had the most impact when it comes to testimonies, working with other people, this comes to mind so often. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, and before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. It's so powerful. So powerful. And very, very often you'll find that you're in these circumstances, whether it be in your workplace, with your own family, to complete strangers, you're going to have opportunities to share your story about how and why you have peace for the things that you have for those that don't. And I would just ask that you would be mindful of that. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to get into our activation. But, Lord, right now I just thank you, Lord, for quickening our spirits. I thank you, Lord, that your word is alive in our hearts. I thank you, Lord, that we have your eyes to see, that we see people through the way you see them. Lord, I just thank you that we have the honor for such a time as this to be a part of advancing the kingdom. I thank you, Lord, that we are lights in darkness. I thank you, Lord, that you will continue to be there for us as we ask you, Lord, to engage in opportunities to advance your kingdom. Lord, we thank you, and it's an honor to serve, Lord, now for the on behalf of other people that need to know you. They don't have that assurance, Lord. And there's some people that are sons and daughters of yours that don't even know that. Lord, we want to be used. Here am I, Lord. Send me. And I thank you, Lord, that we have that heart's cry, Lord. And we know that you're working right now in the midst of what's happening in any situation we're in our life, Lord. You're using that for your glory and for your kingdom. And I thank you, Lord, again, just for the opportunity that we have just to be a part of it. Thank you, Lord, for giving us this opportunity to be fully fulfilled and to have contentment knowing that we're making a difference. And I thank you, Lord, that as we go into Daryl's class next week, that we'll be able to retain this information, Lord, only to have it strengthened and emboldened in his class. And I thank you, Lord, for the synergy that you've allowed us to have, even though we haven't even planned our sessions together, Lord. We just thank you that you're working in that to create this. And I just thank you, Lord God, for it. Thank you, Lord, for our activation time today. Thank you, Lord, that we'll be able to press into this and allow you to work the way you would like. We ask it in your name. Amen. Okay, what are the pieces of paper? I'm going to pass out some paper and pens. This is something that Daryl and I have not talked about. So I'm not, this is something I feel like the Lord's asking me to do. And what I would like for you to do with this piece of paper, we've got a little more time than normal, which is good. And what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask some questions. Actually, they're the activations we had in classes 1 through 3. And Shan's got pens, too, for those that need it. Hopefully you have something to write on. Some people don't. I hadn't thought about that. Okay, what we're going to do, because I really believe this with all my heart, and I've said it 2 times already, but I'm going to say it again. Daryl and I have not coordinated our sessions. So, but I believe this is going to be important as you go, when he comes in here to do the next 4 weeks. What I want you to do is think about the last three sessions that we've had, and including today as well. And the first one, the first session we did was we talked about our uniqueness, how God created us unique. And one of the activations was, how do you feel like God's made you unique? Okay? That might not be easy to answer, okay, completely. But I want you to give it a shot. And I want you to write down a couple things about how you think God has made you unique. That's question number one. How has God made you unique? Okay? And when we're done with this, I want you to put this piece of paper in your Bible. And I want you to have it when you start Daryl's session next week. Session number two. The question we asked in that session was, has the Lord brought to your mind today a relative who you might minister to? I want you to think about that question again. And I want you to write a name down. If you need to pray about who that is, take some time to do that. And I don't want you just to flippantly put something down. If it does not come into your mind right away, then just pray about it and answer it later. And I'll repeat these questions again. Session three, from Monday to Monday, where do you feel you have the most opportunity to offer help to someone? Each session we spent time talking about where you have the opportunity to offer help. So session three, from Monday to Monday, where do you feel like you have the most opportunity to offer help to someone? I'm going to go back to question one just to repeat them again. That deals with our uniqueness. God has created us unique. How has He created you unique? In what ways do you feel like you minister uniquely? And we're going to be praying that be more understood, by the way. So that was session number one. Session number two, who has the Lord brought to your mind? What relative has He brought to your mind who you might minister to? Session three, Monday to Monday, where do you feel you've got the most opportunity to offer help to someone? And then the last question is having to do with today. And that's somewhat of a simple question. And after we write this one down, by the way, we're going to get into twos again and pray for each other. So the session number four, which was today, do you feel like the Lord's calling you to what we called today an intentional ministry opportunity to strangers? We mentioned some of the organizations. And it's fine if you don't, by the way. The question for this session is, do you feel like God's calling you to be involved in an intentional ministry, like we talked about Salvation Army or Urban Ministry? The second part to that question is, we gave the example of unintentional ministry opportunities. Do you have an example of one of those that's happened at any point in your life? A more recent one would be helpful, but Is there one that you can think of where you've had a where you've crossed paths with someone and something's happened? Okay, let's go ahead and break up into the groups of two, and the, I guess ask the youth group again to maybe go in the back, if that's okay. Is that okay?